change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
You are the power.
He's healing me. I'm a living witness that no matter what you're going through right now, if you can find yourself into a place of worship, God will begin to remove the pain. He'll begin to remove the chains. There's a yoke break anointing that comes when you worship. He's healing me, yes He is. God, I made up mine tonight. I'm gonna worship, yes I am. Oh, I'm gonna worship you. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna worship you, Lord. In spirit and in truth, through every valley and every trial. You're going through tonight. I'm a living witness that God will bring you through it. Come on, quit magnifying that problem that you're in and begin to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's ready to make a way for you. Come on, somebody lift up your voice and bless His name through every test and every trial.
Hallelujah. That was the appropriate song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That we ought to choose to worship God. Hallelujah. For everything that He has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes we play a song and we only listen to parts of the song, but I thank and praise God for the part of the song that says, stop magnifying your problems and just go on and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know that's what we need to do? Just stop worshiping the problem and glorify God. I know on yesterday, when I had to go, on Thursday, before I had to go to the hospital to get a procedure done, my husband was praying for me, and he was just praying and praying. And so he finally was saying, like, Lord, she done cried about the situation. She done had her breakdown. Now help her. That she don't need to have no more breakdowns after this. I thought it was kind of funny because I guess it was pretty major breakdown, but you know, Jesus the Lord, He allows us to have the breakdown, but He doesn't want us to stay in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I thank and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because He is so awesome to us. Hallelujah. He's so awesome to us. Glory to God. He's better to us than we've been to ourselves. Hallelujah. I know He's better to me than I've been to myself. And I'm not bragging, but I've been hard-headed. But God, He forgives my sins. He forgives all of our sins if we ask Him to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And really mean it. And stop doing that thing that we've asked Him to forgive us for. Thank Him. Hallelujah. And bless His name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I just want to thank and praise God. I'm going to go into this broadcast and just offer some prayer up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, this is your servant Teresa, and I thank you for another day. I bless your holy name, for you alone are worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you and praise you, Lord God, and ask you to forgive me for my sins and my shortcomings. I ask you to forgive every listener on the phone line, every listener in the chat room, every listener who should listen to this in the archives, that you forgive us all for our sins, Father, and our shortcomings, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we call out to you tonight and say we repent, Father God. Father, we ask you to forgive us for the sins that, you know, cause problems in our lives, God. We ask you to forgive us, Lord God. And sometimes we want to blame the enemy for things, and sometimes it's just things that we've done ourselves. So, Father, I ask you to forgive us for that in the name of Jesus. God, help us to be obedient, Lord God. We know what your word says, Father God, but we need to walk in obedience. And, Father, I just want to just thank you tonight for giving us a new mind, Lord God. I thank you tonight, Lord God, that we will cast aside the old way of thinking, Lord God, and we will just come to you, Lord God, and with a pure heart, hallelujah, with a pure heart, Father God. This is what you want us to come to you with, a pure heart. So we come to you casting aside everything that we think, everything that's of our flesh, Lord God, everything that is not coming from you, coming from your Holy Spirit, coming from your word, Lord, we cast it aside in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord God, that this broadcast will uplift someone, will cause someone to change their mind about their sin, will change their mind about obedience and disobedience. God, that this word on tonight, Lord God, will help us all, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I'm first partaker, and I thank you for it right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to thank and praise God again for being here on tonight. God is so awesome. He is just awesome. That's all I can say about that, that God is really awesome. Hallelujah. And tonight we're going to talk about time for change, obey or disobey. And we want to talk about obedience or disobedience. And the reason why I want to talk about that on tonight is because I have been, I was getting ready to say a victim, but that's not even true. I have been disobedient in some areas. And sometimes we forget that, you know, when we are disobedient, that we're going to have to pay for it either way. We're going to have to pay for it. Sometimes we get our chastisement when we do it. Sometimes we get our chastisement later. And we oftentimes forget that we're going to get it back. I mean, God's not sitting in heaven with a big whipping stick or whatever, but it's the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow disobedience, you're going to get in trouble. If you sow disobedience, you're going to reap disobedience somewhere down in your life. It's better to obey God. I'm finding out it's better to obey God than to obey your flesh. Because why? Because our flesh has a strange way of encouraging us to do things that we have no business doing. Our flesh has a strange way of convincing us to do what we know we have no business doing. Or we use excuses as to why we've done what we've done, as if God doesn't know our heart, as if God doesn't know us. Remember, he made us. He knows the hair, how many hairs are on our head. So God knows each and every one of us. But we try to make excuses as to why we do this or why we do that. And someone told me years ago, and I've never forgotten this, they said, all excuses are good, but none are acceptable. When God says obey, we need to obey. That's the bottom line. When God says don't do something, we ought not do it. When God says do something, we ought to do it. Why? Simply because he is God, and we ought to obey God. Not obey man, obey God. See, we had a program on here one night. We were talking about the Holy Spirit, how we just ignore the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our helper, who Jesus sent back for us to help us, pray, to help us obey the will of God, to help us mortify the deeds of this flesh. And we don't call on the Holy Spirit. We try to do things in our own flesh. And I'm going to speak for myself. Every single time I try to do something in my flesh, every time, it always messes up. It always messes up. It always messes up. It doesn't matter what it is. The tiniest bit of disobedience messes up everything. The tiniest bit of disobedience. And I see that Pastor Barbara put in there, if we obey him, if we obey God, then we belong to him. So, in other words, if we don't obey God, who do we belong to? I posted the scripture in there from Luke 6:46. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I tell you to? That's very, very pricking to my heart right now. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I tell you to do? That's like those of us who have children, and we tell our children to do stuff, And when they don't do it, we say, "What? Didn't I tell you to do X? Why didn't you do it?" And then we want to pull out the whipping stick and want to start tapping their behind because they didn't listen to us. But then when it comes to God, when we disobey and he starts tapping our behind or spanking us or chastising us, however you want to say it, then we catch an attitude. "Well, God, why are you doing this? Well, God, why are you doing, well, didn't you see what he did?" He doesn't want to hear that. All God wants you to do is to obey him. And I love Charles Stanley. He says, "Obey God and leave the consequences to him." Obey God and leave the consequences to him. And that's really the bottom line. Because if God tells you to do something, God can back his own self up. He don't need a backup team. He got his own self. He don't need to get a squad. He don't need to get on Facebook and get himself a squad. He has thousands and thousands and thousands and probably millions and billions of angels. So he don't need our help in that area. All right? God is God, and he's going to take care of whatever he's going to take care of. But he wants us to obey him. Tonight, Luke 6:46 is our foundational scripture. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I tell you?" Why do you call me master? Why do you say that and you don't do what I tell you to do? The simplest thing. If God tells you, if the Holy Spirit says, "Put on those jeans over there," and you say, "No, I don't like the way they fit, I'm going to put these on right here." What is that, obedience or disobedience? Oh, you say, "Well, that shouldn't matter." Yes, it does, because sometimes God trains us in little trivial matters just like that to see if we're going to be obedient to him. Little trivial matters just like that. Well, God don't, he don't take time out to talk to you like that. Oh, yes, he does. You don't take time to listen. God cares about every area of our lives. He cares about every area of our lives, every area of our lives. And I thank God tonight. I thank him for his Holy Spirit tonight. I thank God for everything that he's doing. And I don't always act like I'm thankful, but I am. I am. I'm thankful to God. I'm not thankful for everything that happens, no. I'm not going to sit here and lie because I'm not. But I do thank God because he gave me life. He gave me health. He gave me another day. He gave me strength. You know, whatever the doctor said, he gave me a different report. God gave me a different report. I thank God for that. I thank God for the things that I've gone through. Why? Because they're making me a better person. But tonight's topic is, it's time for a change. Obey or disobey? This is a question I believe is going out through the whole body of Christ, not just Teresa. I think this question is going out to the whole body of Christ. It's time for a change. Will you obey or not? Will you obey or not? Will you obey or not? We have a choice. We can obey or we don't have to obey. We can obey, we don't have to obey. And it's not hard. We make things so hard, but it's not hard. Either obey or disobey. I wish I had some folks on the line to help me tonight because we take obedience as something so simple, something so, you know, one of my nephews like to say a lot, nonchalantly. We just take it as if, yeah, you know, I'll obey if I want to. And if I don't, I won't. Now, if we woke up in hell, then we would want to be talking about, "Oh, God, give me another chance. I'll obey you." Why we got to wake up in hell before we decide to obey? Why we got to wake up in a lake of fire before we decide we want to obey? By then, it's too late. God has given us chance after chance right now to obey him. God has given us chance after chance after chance to obey him right now. Right now. Because after you take your last breath, there are no more chances. There's no more chances. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do?" Why are you telling me that? I'm not your master. I can't be your master because I'm telling you to do something, you won't do it. God says, pack your belongings and move over here. You say, no, I don't know anybody there, Lord. And right there is probably where your blessing is. God's trying to take you from where you are to your blessing, and you're telling God, no, you don't want to move, okay, to Las Vegas. No, God, because they got all those casinos there, and they doing all those drugs there, and they doing this and they doing that. How do you know that God doesn't have somebody there waiting for you to minister to them so they can get saved? How do you know that's not where God wants you to go to start the part of the church that he wants you to start? How do you know that that's not where God wants you to go to get your ministry? But you done rationalized and reasoned in your mind to tell God you don't want to go there because you don't know anybody, because they got casinos there, they do drugs there, it's a high murder rate, this, that, and the other. Now, you done reasoned yourself out of being obedient to God. Why did I just say that right now? I don't know, but it sounds like a good example to me. God tell us to do X, Y, Z, and we don't want to do it. You see somebody on the street, and they're homeless, and they're smoking cigarettes. I see you on the line, caller. I'm going to get right to you. They're smoking cigarettes, or maybe they're homeless. They're holding up a sign and saying, I need to, you know, I don't have any money to eat, this, that, and the third. And they might have on clean sneakers, or their jacket might be clean. And then you say, no, I'm not giving them nothing. Because they look like they can get out and work. Why am I going to give them my hard-earned money when they can work? The Holy Spirit is saying, give them a dollar. And you saying, no, I'm not doing it because he look like or she look like they could get out and work, so I'm not doing it. How do you know that wasn't an angel that you were entertaining unaware? How do you know that if you gave that person $1, God wouldn't have returned you $100,000? But you just reasoned yourself out of giving that person a dollar when the Holy Spirit said, give them a dollar. That's disobedience. And that's rebellion. You telling God what you're not going to do when he told you to do it. Okay? All right, we're going to the line right now. We do have a caller on the line. I believe it's Evangelist Mack. One moment. Hello, good evening. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries.
Praise the Lord, Evangelist Scott. It is Evangelist Mack. And I just want to say that is so true. And God said this, we're his if we obey. So therefore, yes, if we disobey, we're not his. Mm. And it's just like this. If you ever rented from a rent-to-own company, Aaron's, Renter Center, any of those places, the credit manager will let you know this. As long as you pay your bill, you're a customer. The day you don't pay your bill, they don't any longer consider you a customer.
That's right.
And it's somewhat the same thing with Almighty God. Listen, he has all power. But what started all of this stuff is faith, lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us all a measure. But we look more at our situation than we do the power of Almighty God.
That's
so
true.
So if God tell you to give $50, and you looking, Lord, I don't have but 70. He bless you to have 20 left, but we won't give that 50 because we don't have faith to believe God is going to give us more than 50. What we do is we do the bird in the hand is worth more than the bird in the bush.
Uh-huh.
But if we obey God, when he say move, when he speak, you move. But it all starts with faith. And the second part of this is this. Communication.
Yes.
Faithful communication and communing with Almighty God. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow.
That's
but
right.
If you don't know his voice, you following the stranger. Because you don't communicate, you don't commune, you don't fellowship with God enough to know when he's speaking.
Yes.
And you don't have real faith, and you don't believe the word of God. Men say they believe it, but they really don't because your action speaks louder than words.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that this evening.
Well, that's good, though. That's excellent point because, like at Renter Center, we rented for Renter Center. As long as we paid the bill, everything was cool. As soon as we reneged on paying the bill, here they come knocking at the door. And you can pretend that you're not home and, you know, whatever. They're going to come back until they get their money, okay? As long as you're paying, you're in good standing. As long as we obey God, we're in good standing with him. But we act like, oh, well, God don't mind. He's God. We could just do what we want to do. And, you know, I'll repent later. Or don't even think about repenting. We've become so bold in our disobedience. I mean, I thank God we're not living in an Old Testament time where God would just smack people dead. People would just fall through holes. The ground would just open up and people would just fall through. Ananias and Sapphira, they go up to the people and lie. He said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. Drop dead. I mean, thank God for grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. But I tell you, we take God's grace and mercy for granted so much. We abuse it and just walk all over God as if he's not the creator. Go ahead, Evangelist Mac.
This is what's wrong. We do wrong today. He don't destroy us today. Grace and mercy kicks in for us, but most of all, it's his love for us. And so since we're not punished on the spot, we think we can keep getting away with it. Mm-hmm. And they're teaching the people, it's all right to get drunk. It's all right to hold mom. It's all right to lie. It's all right to steal, even on your taxes and all this stuff. The church, the leadership of the church, and nobody come against homosexuality. Nobody come against nothing no more. The praise team up and all of them fornicating and doing what they're clubbing and doing, nobody come against that. They still tell them, come as you are. Of course they're going to continue to come because nobody is teaching me heaven or hell. Nobody is teaching me. God is really not pleased with that. We must come up in our faith to know this. If I'm getting drunk, I need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm lying, I need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm committing adultery, I need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's teaching this anymore. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is good. God is a sugar daddy.
Because he said
in his word what he meant, and he meant what he said. And on that great and noble day, people are really going to be surprised. Oh, God wouldn't do me like this. He's such a savior. That's what he is right now, but he's coming back at the great judge. And he will not lie. I don't care how much he loves us, he will not lie for us.
He sure won't. He can't. What? He's not going to lie for us. He ain't going to lie on us, and he's not going to lie for us. He's God. Are we kidding? We get it twisted. But see, two things. You have people who are teaching a false gospel, people who are teaching the so-called gospel of inclusion, that says God is love, so he's not going to send anybody to hell. He's not going to send anybody to hell because he loves everybody so much.
Mm.
So you got these people out here teaching this lie and saying you can go to the club, you can drink, you can be a whoremonger, you can do whatever you want to do because at the end of the day, God is still going to let you in heaven. And that's heresy. Somebody's teaching these lies, and people are falling for the okey-doke. And why? Because it feels good to the flesh. It feels better to, quote-unquote, serve a God that's not going to condemn you to hell. But see, what I like to tell people is, it's not God sending you to hell, baby. It's you doing it. Because you got the same Bible I have, okay? And the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Romans 6:23 completely and clearly tells us the wages of sin is death. I mean, clearly that goes without saying. Jesus gives us an illustration of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man in hell talking about, well, can you dip your finger in some water and drop it on my tongue?
Okay.
Can you go back and tell my brothers that hell is real? And he said, no, if they didn't listen to the prophets, why are they going to listen to me? See, but people get it twisted. Oh, that's not a real story. Jesus was just using that as an example. Okay, continue to live in sin and say that you belong to God. You're going to go to your real father. That's where you're going to go. So all of this, what's that thing you say? I got a Hyundai and something else you say? helped me tie my bow tie driving in a Hyundai. So speaking in tongues, or whatever your version of speaking in tongues is, going to the church, and before you get to the church, you was out there with your girlfriend's husband, okay, or your friend's wife. You was just at the club. I saw somebody post today. They said, I went to the club last night. This was around about 1 or 2 o'clock. They said, I went to the club last night, and I'm still drunk. Well, what kind of mess is that, that you went to the club and you still drunk? I didn't understand that one. But then turn around and go to church. But it's okay. And like you said, people are not teaching about hell. People are not teaching about the lake of fire. People are not teaching that hell is real, and once you go there, you're not coming out unless you go into the lake of fire, because hell is going to get lifted up and put in the lake of fire. No, we want a cozy gospel. We don't want to hear about obeying God, because that makes God sound so strict and stern. That makes God sound like he's, you know, you're making it too hard for us to do this thing, God. So, Samuel says, in 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So back in the day, they were doing sacrifices, and thanks be to God that we don't have to do those type of sacrifices today, because Jesus Christ is the sacrifice, the final sacrifice. But he was telling them, you could do all of these sacrifices if you want to. I want you to obey me. You can sacrifice, and that don't mean nothing. Just like today, we can go to church, it don't mean nothing. God wants us to obey him. He wants us to obey him. That's what he wants. Obey him. Obey him. Is it hard? Why is it so hard, Evangelist Mac? I wish my husband was on the phone. Why is it so hard for us to obey?
Because your flesh wants to be pleased. And it's easier to please that flesh than to make it come under subjection. And in this society today, you have the church leadership who has taught people everything is okay to do because God is a forgiving God. So when you have to put that flesh under subjection, you don't. You just keep doing what you're doing, and again, you're not being destroyed when you do it right away, so you continue on.
So then, my next question would
back
be,
to this too, Evangelist Scott, people don't really believe the word of God. Some people believe it when it will work for them. Scriptures like, all things going to work together for my good.
Right.
God supply need according to his riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. All the promises that make the flesh happy, they go with that.
Mm-hmm.
When it says love your enemy, oh no, that they're not with that. When it says come out from among them and be ye separated, they're not with that. This big mama, this grandmama, this mama, this sister, this my brother, he said come out from among them and be separated. Because what I've learned over the years is birds of a feather flock together. Association bring on assimilation. So people don't want to do what's right, what's going to help them. And one last thing, people do not like the truth because the truth hurt. So they don't like the truth. And many won't accept the truth. But it's that truth that's going to set us free.
That's what the word says. I like that you brought up love your enemy, because I had one of those. I had that scripture up to read tonight, because it says the title is Obey or Disobey. You know, Matthew 5, starting at verse 43, says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus is saying, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And verse 45 tells you why. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is why he wants us to do this. So you may be a child of God, that you may be called his child. I mean, it's right here. It's right under my nose. I'm reading it right here. Do y'all have the same Bible I have?
All right, come on.
Does your Bible say the same thing?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Sometimes we come up with these Bibles. I don't know where some of these Bibles come from. Okay, but this is what my Bible tells me. Why he says to do that, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. See, there's a distinction there. Jesus said somewhere in the Bible, and I can't call it right, excuse me, right here, he said, you are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil. But Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them and curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those who despise you. When was the last time you blessed somebody who cursed you?
All right, come on, sister.
Seriously, like, when was the last time you blessed somebody that cursed you? When was the last time, and I'm talking about me, first partaker, got my hand up in the air. When was the last time you did good to somebody that you knew hated you? You knew. Do you pray effectively? Do you pray fairly? Do you pray righteously for those who spitefully use you and persecute you? Or do you pray, God, get them because you saw what they did to me? These are the kind of things that we have to examine our hearts with, because we're so good at playing church. We're so good at saying things, but we don't sit down and examine the word.
Yes.
And I'm saying this not because of something I heard, because of something I had to live through. I remember when I was in Germany, somebody started spreading a rumor in Germany, and it was, of course, it's a rumor. It was not true. And the person told me, well, you need to go to that person and make things right. I said, well, why do I need to go to them and make it right? She was going around saying this, this, and whatever to whatever. She said, no, the Lord said that you have to go and get it right. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm not trying to do that. So finally I gave in and I made a cake. Okay, you know, my whole attitude while I was making this cake is, what can I put in it to make her sick? You know, what can I do to hurt her? Because all kind of foolishness going through my head.
Uh-huh.
So didn't do anything wrong to the cake. I just made the cake. Took the cake over to the woman's house and asked the woman to forgive me. Like, can you see? I'm sitting there looking around like, how is this coming out of my mouth? Well, it was God. It was him helping me. It was the Holy Spirit. And don't you know that because I did that and was obedient to him, he caused that woman to repent of her sins,
okay,
and confess the Lord Jesus as her Lord and Savior?
Yes, ma'am.
From,
yes,
obedience.
Ma'am.
See, we look at obedience as, oh, well, it don't really matter. But, yes, it does. This is why the Lord is bringing up these scriptures. He said, but I say, he said, you heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. A lot of us can't get past that because we're so busy thinking about what so-and-so did and what so-and-so did and how they did us. And we forget about the times where we've done things to hurt other people. Okay,
yes.
Some of those people probably have never come back to us and said, you know what, Teresa, you did X, Y, Z to me years ago, and I want to forgive you. They may not never do that, but God has me in a place in my life right now where I'm going to people to tell them, you know, I did X, Y, Z to you years ago. I'm sorry. Or if somebody has an ought against me, to go to them and say, you know what, if this hasn't been right and this hasn't been right, let's get it. This is how I feel about you. This is how I feel about what you did to me. I forgive you. Let's move on. Okay? We hold on to so much stuff in our hearts. We hold on to so much secretive stuff. And good evening to Lady B. Morgan. Thank you for joining us tonight. And Prophetess Burke, thank you for joining us tonight. And Prophetess Z, thank you, and special thanks to my husband. He's always here. And guest number 5819, thank you. And, of course, we have Evangelist Mack on the line tonight speaking with us, and I thank God for that. But when God tells us to obey, all we need to do is obey. I didn't know that lady was going to give her life to the Lord. I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt like she should have came to me. Well, that was pride. I had pride inside of me. Oh, well, no, she need to come to me because, you know, I'm so-and-so. What? But you don't know when God tells you to obey, you don't know whether that's saving your very life or saving somebody else's life. It doesn't matter. Just obey God.
Amen. Well,
even
another thing, too, Prophetess Scott, is this right here.
He called me Prophetess Scott. Did y'all hear that?
Okay, then.
That.
All right, now, all right. But listen, it's another thing. People feel like this. If I do that, I'm going lacking in some way. They feel like if I obey God, I'm not going to get what I want. But if he calls you and you love him, all things must work together for your good. But it goes right back to the word of God. They don't really believe that. This is why people cheat on their taxes, so-called Christians. Cheat on their taxes, they tell lies, they call them small lies. But a lie is a lie.
Mm.
And a liar won't inherit the kingdom of God.
They sure won't. Revelation 21
says that. There are all kind of things in there that we never consider the small things. And we won't obey because we want to do it our way. Well, people have told me, I know, but there was no but in the scripture. He said, just do it. Because if we obey God, he promised to bless us. We will be blessed.
Amen.
And if we in disobedience, we witches. And
what?
If we in disobedience, we obeying our daddy, the devil. That's just the bottom line.
Did y'all hear that? I'm trying to type and talk at the same time, and I can't do it for the life of me.
That's the word that we witches.
Lord,
and we work in witchcraft, and we belong to the devil.
See, listen, I want you to talk about that in a second, but first I wanted to address something that my husband put in here in the chat room, and I thank God that he found that scripture for me, John 8:44, that you are of your father, the devil. He also said pride and the Pharisee heart. Example, the heart that proudly proclaims that I'm glad I'm not like the sinner. I do this and I do that. We do a lot of that. We do a lot of I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. We talk about the gay choir director. We talk about Bishop Eddie Long. We talk about, you know what I'm saying? We talk about, well, I'm glad I'm not him because, you know, I wouldn't do. You don't know what you would have done if you was in his situation, okay? Once pride sets in and your heart is turned toward loving money, and your heart is turned toward disobedience, and you keep disobeying, and you keep disobeying, and you keep disobeying, you're going to wind up like him or worse. You're going to wind up like them or worse. And he says, my husband says, even Christ, when the lawyer called him good master, rebuked the man and told him that only one is good, and one is the Father in heaven. But the main thing I wanted to talk about, what my husband said, was the little foxes, because you said something about that. Anybody that's in the chat room, if you'd like to call and get on the air, you can call us at 323-693-3054 and press 1, and I will definitely get you on the air. All right. He says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and the little foxes spoil the vine because I was talking to somebody earlier today, and, well, you know, little fox is cute. And when he's little, he's real cute. But that little fox is at the bottom of that tree destroying that fruit. He's destroying whatever is down there that he can get to. We don't pay him no mind because we're tall. We're looking at the big fruit on the tree, and the big fruit is okay. But by the time that little fox starts messing up that vine and tearing up those the roots and everything, you wonder, well, why are my grapes not growing? What happened? Why aren't my grapes being productive this year? What's going on? It's those little foxes. You're looking at homosexuality and adultery and fornication. You look at all that big stuff, but what about manipulation in your heart? What about, manipulation in your heart. What about white lies? What about that little stuff that you do? What about your little attitude? Oh, I said I forgive you, but, there's that word again, I said I forgive you, but I got to hold on to a little bit of this because I don't want you to rise up against me again, and I have to get back at you. You know what I mean? So we're talking about the little foxes. Like you said, cheating on your taxes. Okay, you might only do that once a year, But that's a little tack. A little fox. You're going to do the same thing next year. You're going to do the same thing next year. And these are little things that you continuously do. So one sin, if you open up the door for this sin to come in and you have no problem doing that sin, the next sin is coming. The next temptation to sin is coming. You have no problem doing that first sin. Now look, now you're doing something else. Oh, now you know, okay, God ain't knocked me dead. I don't have no illness that's unto death. You know, my family members, everybody's okay. My finances are okay, so we think everything is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here comes the next temptation to sin. Who knows what it is? But because your heart is already so open to sin, the next sin ain't going to be no big deal. It's going to be easy for you to cheat on your wife or your husband. Mm-hmm. You know, you're cheating on your taxes. Why not cheat on your spouse?
Okay.
Why not? Because the mindset has become so immune to obedience now. It's just, hey, it's a thing to do. You know, stealing from work, stealing those little sticky pads, stealing, you know, pencils or pens. Oh, it's just a pencil or pen. The boss don't pay for it anyway. But is it yours?
Okay.
Did you ask for it? So that constitutes as stealing. Now you're at home and you're looking in your purse and you got 10, 15 pens from the office.
All right.
And they're wondering why they got to keep ordering stuff because you a thief. And now it's becoming a habit. Oh, it's no problem. I could just take this. Nobody said anything. I haven't gotten in trouble for it. So now it's a habit. Okay, anybody got anything to say?
Well, I just want to say this. It all stems back to this again. We do not believe the word of God. For if we say we're his and we're disobedient, we are not his. We only fooling ourselves. Because of this, every word of God is pure. Every word. His word is settled in heaven. And if we make this word come alive and believe it, it will give us a fear. It will give us a fear. Whether people are around or not around, what the words say don't do, that's not what, oh, we won't do that. Oh, no, no, no. And anyone coming to ask us to do what the word says not to do, we'll straighten them to, oh, no, I can't do that. But we got to go back to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember his word and stay faithful to the word of God in obedience. Because it's easy to disobey. That flesh wants to be pleased.
All the time. I know my flesh. Can I talk about my flesh for a minute?
Uh-huh.
I'm not glorifying my flesh, y'all. Let me just say that. But I don't act like I'm this perfect and I don't do anything wrong and I'm so holy and this, that, because that's a lie from the pit right there. Okay? I do things and I have to ask God to forgive me because, like you said, Evangelist Mac, we be telling God, but like, why I got to act right? When so-and-so's not acting right, why do I have to act right? Did you see what he did to me? Didn't you see that? Why do I got to love them? Why do I got to pray for them? Why do I got to do good to them? That's how I felt with that woman when I was in Germany. I'm like, but she went around the base spreading all of this stuff about me, and now you're saying I got to bake her a cake? She should be bringing me a cake, some money, anything I want. For all of the stuff that she was going around saying, which wasn't true.
But
okay,
you know
she
another thing? You know another thing, Evangelist Scott?
Mm-mm.
If we believe this word, we will know all of this kind of thing is coming to pass. And when it come up, we won't be so shocked. I had an incident that happened to me a few weeks back. And that flesh started talking, and that old man wanted to rise. I went immediately to the saints of God. I didn't tell them what it was, but I asked them to pray with me and for me. And when I tell you that flesh died, and I was yet saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost sealed, because I'm telling you the flesh and the enemy was speaking to me and telling me what to do. Yeah.
I like that.
And I had to bring that thing under subjection, but I had to have the prayers of the saints to help me.
Yeah.
That's why he said the strong battery infirmities of the weak, and we confess one to another. And if you look at Titus 3:3, it's going to tell you some things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's going to tell you all about disobedience. At one time, we was foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But now, this for the saints. Now, this is not for everybody. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared now, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's Titus 3:3-6.
Yes.
We're supposed to be different now. We're supposed to be new creatures, a new creation. And we're only obeying the word of God. And we got to know the voice of God. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. But again, the only way we're going to know it is if we're in constant communication and communion with him.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I like that scripture, y'all. Write this down, Titus chapter 3. And I'm going to go up. I'm going to go up to to verse 1, because I really want verse number 2. But verse number 1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were, and that's what you read, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. You said that this was written to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this stuff today. You see disobedience, people walking around deceiving and being deceived, serving divers lusts. Oh, well, I want this and I want that, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Divers lusts and pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
Hateful and hating one another.
Amen.
I said one time, if somebody asked my husband and I to do a report on each other, what's it like living with her and what's it like living with him, I wouldn't want him to write a report about me.
Okay.
I wouldn't want him to write a report about me, because if he would tell the truth, he would say that woman was hateful, just mean, just doing what she wanted to do when she wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not have written the same report about him. Okay? But thank God for the renewing of the mind, that he's still working on me. He's still renewing my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he would write right now, but I don't believe he would write that. There's some things that he would write on there, I'm sure, but I don't believe he would write that. But there was a time I was fearful of, you know, if somebody said, well, what's your wife like behind closed doors? Because we can go and preach. We can go and teach. We can go, you know, on Blog Talk Radio. We can post the scriptures up on Facebook. We can do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what's in the heart.
Yes, ma'am.
It's what's in the heart that God, that matters to God. Because you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can get over on a lot of people a lot of the time. But God knows our heart. We can't fool him no time.
Uh-huh.
We can't whitewash him no time. We can't, you know, deceive God anytime. He knows our heart. And he's looking for a meek and a contrite heart. He's looking for a heart that's godly sorry for what we do. He's looking for a heart that will say, God, I repent. Not, but, Lord, you see what so-and-so said and so-and-so did. You might as well have just kept that. God wants us to be godly sorry for what we do, and stop doing it. See, I like to tell people that repentance and confession are two different things.
Yes.
I can call you Evangelist Mac. I could call Prophetess V or Lady B and whoever else is in the chat room. I can call any one of y'all and say, you know, even my husband, and say, guess what I did? You know, I did this today and I did this today. And keep it right on moving. But God wants us to repent. That means to turn away from that thing. Be godly sorry for doing that thing and turn away from it and stop doing it. Don't do it anymore. See, we've watered down repentance so much that people think they can say, okay, God, I'm sorry, and keep it moving, and that's it. Okay, oh, God, I'm sorry, and keep it moving. He's supposed to just accept that, and everything's supposed to be okay. But guess what? Back in the Old Testament, if we study the scripture, when a person took a sacrifice and put it on an altar, that sacrifice couldn't have any blemishes. It couldn't have any broken bones. It couldn't have anything wrong with it because God wouldn't accept it. You couldn't just bring anything to the altar and say, here, God.
Oh, no.
Okay, take it because you said we got to bring this sacrifice and this. No, he didn't accept. What? You bringing a blemished sacrifice to him? You bringing a broken sacrifice to him? I mean, something that you just found out in the bushes or something roadkill. You just going to bring roadkill to the altar and offer it to me. And that's what we do today. It's likening to that. We just go to God and be like, here you go. Here you go. So, I mean, look, they're in the chat room having a fit over in here. We need to stop pointing the fingers at others. G-Man Scott, my husband, says, while the four others are pointing at us. Jesus said, unless our righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:20. This is from Prophetess V. My husband said, God looks down on us and shakes his head, sounding so righteous but living so unrighteously. And that's what we do. A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. A sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I had that pulled up, too. 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th chapter. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You're just making a bunch of noise.
Making noise.
Just making a whole bunch of noise, okay? And though I have the gift of prophecy, we got so many prophets and prophetesses and prophet wannabes, and I'm a prophet today and tomorrow I'm an apostle running around. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing.
Now,
that's bad right there. That's bad that you got so much faith that you can remove mountains, okay? You understand mysteries and all knowledge, and you have the gift of prophecy. But you don't have love, he says, you're nothing.
Nothing.
He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's what our ministry does, when we go out to give out clothes to people, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Huh? All of the stuff that we are doing and don't have love. You can't, I have love. You don't got agape love. You don't have the kind of love that God wants us to have. You don't have the kind of love that overlooks a fault. You don't have the kind of love that forgives at a moment's notice. You don't have the kind of love that when somebody hits you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. Come on now. If we tell the truth, we still working on that. I'm going to raise my hand. Y'all can't see me, but I'm going to raise my hand.
Come on now.
Because I'm not so sure that if you slap me, I'm going to turn around and let you slap my other cheek. I'm not sure I've gotten to that point yet. Okay? If you slap me, I'm going to just turn around and say, okay, here's the other cheek and let you slap it. All right? So y'all pray for me because I don't think I've gotten there yet. But y'all pray for this. Okay? So going back to this love thing, love suffers long and is kind. So you can suffer long and be mean with it.
You can
be long-suffering, putting up with so-and-so for all this time. I've been putting up with you for 15 years, but you're not kind about it, huh? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm Prophetess Teresa. You ain't going to talk to me like that. Oh, no, uh-uh. Oh, shut up and sit down somewhere. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Huh? Can we stop right there? Thinks no evil.
Come on.
Oh, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say I wish he died, but I thought it. I didn't say I wish she fall and break her leg, but I thought it. Come on now. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the little foxes. You're not saying it, but you're thinking. You wishing evil on somebody. See, these are the kind of things that we got to examine ourselves about. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Honey, see if you can find that scripture for me that says something about our enemies, that we're not supposed to be happy when somebody gets in trouble for doing something. We're not supposed to say, see, that's what you get. We're not supposed to say that. When somebody does something, we're not that's what they get. They should have listened. That's why they going through that, We're not supposed to be happy about that.
That's right.
We're supposed to pray for them. We're sitting there being happy about somebody going through something. Yeah, you know, she can't, they don't have this and they don't have that because you know what she did. You know what he did. That's why they don't have that. Instead of you praying for them or offering them assistance, you're jumping on the bandwagon telling everybody, you know, girl, you know, that's why they going through this because they did X, Y, Z. Now, you don't know why somebody's going through what they're going through. And you might want to keep your mouth off of it because you might be the next one going through that. Then when you're looking for somebody to pray for you, nobody's not going to pray for you because you're reaping what you sowed.
Yeah.
See, we forget about that, too. You do reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow in a lot of instances, but you're going to reap what you sow. So,
yeah.
Anyway... So love suffers long and is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And there's a scripture, and Lord, I don't know where my brain is tonight, but there is a scripture that tells us in Romans, this is in the book of Romans, it tells us, I believe it's in chapter 1, tells us not only do you do the sin, but you take pleasure in them that do it.
Okay.
Okay? You might say you're not a homosexual, but you're taking pleasure in what they do. You're not telling them to sit down somewhere and get it together. You're not praying with them and fasting with them and going over the word of God with them, telling them that God don't like that. You know, even a liar, oh, yeah, you know it's okay to lie, girl, go ahead. I know you a child of God. Let me do your taxes. What you want me to say on this? How many you want me to get 5 deductions? You got 5 children. I know you only got 3. You're taking pleasure in them because they're bringing you tithes. So you're taking pleasure in their lying?
Mm-hmm.
You're taking pleasure in their scheming? Somebody in your church committing adultery. You know they commit adultery. And you're saying, okay, it's okay, sister. It's okay, brother, for you to commit adultery because your spouse is not treating you right at home?
Come on.
So you're not doing it, but you're taking pleasure in it. You might as well be doing it. And that's in the book of Romans, and I want to find it because sometimes people just don't believe water is wet. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Because I know I read it, so I'm going to make sure that I'm saying what the Word of God say. I ain't trying to lie to God's people. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Okay, y'all listening? And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Do we not do that today? Do we exchange the truth of God for the lie? Yes, we do.
Amen.
For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, you got people trying to explain this away. They will try to explain this away until heaven comes. Verse 28 said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, to do those things which were not fitting,
mm-hmm.
being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do the same thing, so you're undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Not only do you do these things, full of envy and murder, strife, deceit, not only do you do them, but you approve of those who do these things.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I didn't write that. That's the Bible.
Amen.
That's the Bible. My husband said, do we ever really reach agape? We can. Prophet V said, I believe we do reach agape a little every day as God continues to work on our hearts daily and as we purge and continue to sanctify God in our hearts by laying aside every weight. But see, that's a choice that we got to make. We either want to walk in God's love the way God loves or we don't. And most of the time, we just want to excuse ourselves out of why we can't love so-and-so. I like you, but I don't love you. That is one saying of 2011 that I really hate hearing. I like you, but I don't love you.
Mm.
Oh, I mean, I heard it so much this year, it's ridiculous. I don't like you, but I love you. Well, if you don't like me, how you gonna get past not liking me to love me? You might not like what I do. Say that, okay? And I ain't in love with everything you do either. But don't say I don't like you, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't like me, how you gonna get past love? How you gonna get past like to love me?
Well, you know, evangelists too now. A lot of the so-called saints take on the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be accepted and a part of. So we adopt the ways world and the way they think, and we thinking and acting like the world. Because it all goes back again. We don't really believe the word of God. And we don't really work at putting his word into practice.
Mm-hmm.
When something come up, we don't immediately go to him. I reflect back to the word, we let the flesh come up first, and then later on we come to ourselves and try.
Yeah.
And I just believe this. I know for me, when I went to the altar and I received Jesus as my personal Savior, God come in, he saved me. It was him that sanctified me, set me aside unto himself, and it was him that filled me with his spirit. Love came with that. There was a lot of things went on, but I couldn't even have a mind to look at the people with it. I continued on in God, seeking him diligently and believing him and what his word say. And I saw it come to pass. Now, some things I had to stand a long time on the word for, but I was delivered from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was delivered. And we can be delivered today if we take the choice, like you said. It's all about choices.
Yeah.
And if we want to obey, we can. If we want to love, we can.
If we want to.
Yes.
If we want to.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read this scripture. It's 10 minutes after 7. I want you to write these scriptures down, everybody, so you can go over these scriptures over again. And this is for myself. This is for myself. I'm always first partaker. I have to say that because a lot of times, and I say it a lot to keep myself from being prideful. Oh, that's not for me. You's a lie. That's for you. Shut up, because you might not be going through something specific right this time, but you need it too. We need all of the word of God to keep
Amen.
Us under protection. So anybody say, oh, no, you know that word. You should have tuned in tonight because this word was for so-and-so and for so-and-so. Now, this word is for everybody.
Amen.
This word is for everybody. None of us are exempt from the word. You might not be homosexual or fornicator. You might not be a fornicator or adulterer in the natural, but you might be fornicating and adultery in the spirit. You stepping out on God. You done turned to other gods.
Amen. Come on.
See, don't nobody want to talk about that. It's good to talk about being in the natural, committing adultery and fornication. It's good to talk about that. But what about that spiritual stuff? What is your God? Who is your God? God said, you shall have no other gods before me. And the internet is your God. Your TV is your God. Your money is your God. Your kids are your God. What is your God?
Come on.
Who are you fornicating with? I think that should be one of the titles of our broadcast. Who are you fornicating with?
Yes,
ma'am. Uh-oh, you committing adultery. Nobody want to hear that. The first thing they're going to think about is you stepping out on your spouse. You are, because we're supposed to be married to God. And we out here serving other things. Might want to check that out. Might want to check that out. Now, see, I liked Michael Jackson's song, I'm Starting with the Man in the Mirror. Y'all can say what y'all want to say about Michael Jackson, but I like that song, I'm Starting with the Man in the Mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. That's what he said. That's what the Word of God saying, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
All right.
Okay, be transformed by... How are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? With the Word of God. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth. Let the Holy Spirit lead you what to study, what to meditate on. Let the Holy Spirit bring these scriptures to your remembrance when you're going through whatever it is you're going through. Let the Holy Spirit help you to mortify your flesh. No, we don't want to do that, though, because it's easier to just let the flesh do what the flesh want to do. But then we don't want to hear this scripture right here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. There's that spanking. We think we're not supposed to get spanking. We think we're not supposed to get chastisement. We think that I'm a child of God. I can do what I want to do. Nah. It doesn't work that way. When we gonna learn that? 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to turn to that 2 Thessalonians. That starts at verse 8, but I want to see what it says before that. 2 Thessalonians. I thank God so much for the internet. Y'all understand. I thank God for the internet. You can pull things up so fast on the internet. 2 Thessalonians 1. They started at verse 8. Let me see what it says. We are always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. But let me stop right there. Well, wait a minute. It says, verse 6 says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Well, one verse back up here says, and give relief to you who are troubled. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. But we're going around troubling folks. We better read the Word of God and examine ourselves while we're reading the Word of God. It says he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Well, just like people troubling you, who are you troubling? Who are you out there disturbing? Who are you out there backbiting against and lying on and causing trouble in their home? Who are you calling and saying, guess what? Guess what? Who are you out there doing it to? This word is for you, just like it's for everybody else. Okay? You want a trouble? You want to put trouble out there? It's coming right back to you. That's what the Word of God says. But see, we want to say, oh, yeah, the Word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets so harm, no harm. How many times have you heard that this year?
Come on.
You might be his prophet and you might be anointed. But some of us, some people out here, I'm telling you, some of us, the anointing has just lifted.
Yeah.
And folks don't even know it. They're laying up there like Samson. When he got his hair cut, he didn't even know his power was gone. He allowed the enemy to come in and cut his hair and take his power.
Yes, ma'am.
And some of us are in so much disobedience and rebellion. And like you said, witchcraft. And just God has turned them over to the reprobate mind. They don't even know they're reprobate. And they're out there shaking and shaking and nothing's happening. And they're trying to figure out where's their power. But I know I'm anointed. And I know God said this. And okay, well, how about you just stop and listen to God. Listen to him and repent. Turn from your sin. Turn back to God. Oh, no, but I'm prophet this, and I'm, you know, bishop-elect this, and I'm chief apostle this. God is not concerned about our titles. He's concerned about our hearts.
Amen.
God wants our hearts to be right. And every day that we live, he's given us another chance to get it right.
Yeah.
We take God's mercy and his grace. We take that so for granted. We take it for granted, like as if, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's it. No, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. We got to be righteous. We got to be right before him. God wants us to be clean. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, without a blemish. That's what he's coming back for. We got so many spots and wrinkles and blemishes on us as a body that is ridiculous. We hear one thing about one church, we all happy. We hear one thing about this pastor, we happy instead of praying for that pastor, praying that they come out of reprobate mind, praying that they come out of disobedience and rebellion, praying that they come out of witchcraft and strongholds, anything that person that's holding that person back. Instead of praying for them, we're rejoicing that they fell. We're rejoicing that they, you know, that they were exposed. We're not supposed to rejoice over that. We're supposed to hold that brother or sister up in prayer. Pray for them. But we guard iniquity within our hearts.
Yes.
We got a lot of iniquity in our hearts, and God wants us to repent. He don't care about our titles. He don't care what church we go to. We can go to the biggest church. We can go to the smallest church. We ain't got to go to no church. God is concerned about our hearts.
Amen.
And he wants us to obey him, and he wants obedience to be at the top of the list. Love him and obey him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? Why? Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of disobedience, which leads to righteousness? Whoever you obey, that's who you're a slave to. You obey God, you're his slave. You obey the devil, you're his slave.
Amen.
I ain't write the Bible. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Amen.
Be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay, deceiving yourself.
Yes.
Deceiving yourself. We're not deceiving God. As much as we think we can, we're not deceiving God. We know witchcraft. Some of us are dealing in witchcraft. That needs to be exposed. Some of us are just liars that just need to be exposed.
Yeah.
Okay, it's being exposed now with the Word of God. If somebody can preach or teach the Word of God and you not feeling none of it, and you sitting there saying, oh, that ain't for me, and I'm above that, I'm better than that, you know, that's for so-and-so. Now, you need to check your heart right there, because that's pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Ask Lucifer.
Amen.
Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. He fell. Came down like a great light. Here he come. Falling down out of heaven because his pride, he rose up against the Creator. Are you crazy? But we take these things like there's some stories that somebody just thought up, stories that somebody just wrote about, you know, like they're not true. We need to take the Word of God literally. We need to believe the Word of God, and we need to obey the Word of God. Really. Okay, I'm finished talking. Go ahead, Evangelist Max.
Well, the only thing I can say, sister, is it all stems back to that Word. And if we can but obey God. And, you know, sometimes we just need to get to ourselves. Separate, go in the secret closet, and have a talk with the Lord about us. Because if we'll do that more, we'll find out we need to work on us more than we up trying to help other people to work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you mention those titles, it's just the work that you do is why you have that title. It's labor. It's not for somebody to look up to you. Because you have this title, it's all of this work that you're doing unto the Lord that he chose and called you to.
Yes.
And see, it all back again starts with faith. Where's our faith? Do we have real faith? God gave us all a measure.
Amen.
But are we increasing in faith? What are we doing with this? He counted Abraham's faith as righteousness. Because he left his family and went on where God told him to go. And we just got to cut it out. We just got to cut it out and get real, for real, with Almighty God.
Ooh, she said get real, for real.
Yeah, because many of us, we're not real with him. We're not for real.
Mm-hmm.
We're not for real. We made a start, but we went back.
Mm.
We made a start, but we stopped. We made a start and we look at everything that's hindering us, that can hinder us.
Mm.
Well, I would do this, but. I would do that, but. Many people, I want to start a shelter, but they won't let nobody come to their own house and stay.
Mm-hmm.
You have a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You have an extra bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start a soup kitchen. You have a kitchen. You have a pantry in there. You have cabinets. Start out of your own house.
Yeah.
Key is this, we were made for his pleasure. And we must believe and diligently seek God. Them two things will keep us right, but we won't do that. We'll do everything else, and we're chasing every wind and doctrine.
Everyone,
oh, come on over here with me, the prophet over there. The prophet is over there. For what?
Yeah.
I hear from God for myself. I got 66 books. I got the Spirit of God. And I can hear from heaven when I get ready. It don't have nothing to do with no gift.
I used to be a prophet before.
Okay.
And let somebody say the prophet was coming. Or the prophet was coming. I was like, oh, yeah. Now I had to sit a certain way. I had to make my face look a certain way to make them look at me or prophesy to me.
Hmm.
You know, and that's why I call it a prophecy whore.
Yeah.
You hear anybody else say that, they got it from me.
Okay.
But,
well, I know the day you have so many pulpit pimps is ridiculous. Prosperity pimps, pulpit pimps, you got all these people out here. Everybody's a prophet or prophetess, but I don't see no changes. It's hard for me to accept all this stuff because there's no change. And the people that's hanging out with you, even your own family, their lives are not changing.
Not changing.
Well, who are you really and what are you for real? You say you're the apostle. I heard you say elect bishop and chief apostle. Well, why your family in the mess they in, chief, prophet,
Yes.
God has not given a word for them. But we have to take self-inventory, and we have to get real for real with God. And he'll bless. I have 8 biological children. And before I fully come to the Lord in obedience, he already spoke to me and told me all 8 was called to the ministry. In the initial beginning, I was like, oh, not with what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me it's not according to what you see, it's according to what I've done.
All right.
And as the time progresses on, you'll get to see. All 4 boys and 1 of the daughters, it's 5 of them already has accepted the call, and it's 3 more to go.
My Lord.
And he told me about 1 of the ones who has not accepted the calling. Watch what I do in her by the time she turns 33. And the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
And we watch what we say. I speak on myself daily. I am the woman of God. And I'm going to walk upright before him if it kill me.
My Lord.
I'm going to live for the Lord if nobody else does. If I have to live by myself, I'm going to live alone unto Almighty God, and I mean that. Because, look, it's appointed unto man once to die,
mm-hmm.
and after death, here comes the judgment. And God is not playing. He says what he means, and he means what he say.
Yes, he does.
And see, we think he's going to play with us. He's not that kind of God. Now, he loves us. He won't lie for us, and hell is enlarging itself daily. Oh, God ain't going to send me to hell. I'm a good person. He sent Peter down from Joppa to tell Cornelius to get right. Cornelius hadn't received the Holy Ghost because it's the Holy Ghost that keep a man or a woman. And if you're not being kept, you can't be kept. You'll find yourself saying ugly things to people and treating people in a kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the opportunity to be ugly, you'll do ugly. But if you have that greater living on the inside of you, you can't just do any and or everything. And if you focus and believe in the word of God, you'll be all right.
That's right.
And that good That's thing right. he began to do in you, he'll continue until the day he comes back.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
My Lord, thank you, God, so much for Evangelist Mac. For everybody, anybody in the chat room that doesn't know, this is Evangelist Mac. And she has her own Blog Talk Radio Monday through Friday at what time? 7 a.m.?
Uh-huh, 7 a.m. Eastern.
7 a.m. Eastern time, 7 to 9. She has her own Blog Talk Radio show, Freedom Doors Ministry. So if you can tune in and listen to her, if you're not already done so, please do. We have my husband in the chat room, and he did find that scripture for me. G-Man Scott is my husband. He said he found that scripture for me. Proverbs 24:17-18 says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy fails, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him." That's what we were talking about earlier when we say, "Don't get happy when something happens to your enemy and say, oh, see, they deserve this and see, they deserve that." Don't do that. God's not pleased with that. At all. Okay. Let's see. Prophetess V. I'm trying to get some of these messages from out of the chat room. Prophetess V said the flesh wants us to rejoice at the evil of our enemy, that the evil our enemy is experiencing. Yeah, that's what the flesh wants us to do. But anything that the flesh does is not pleasing to God. The flesh is enmity against God. Our flesh is enemy against God. It's God's enemy. So whatever we're doing in the flesh is not pleasing God. At all, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, if it's in the flesh, it's not pleasing to God. People listening might like what they hear, but if you're doing it out of the flesh, it's not pleasing to God. TV, whatever, standing on the pulpit preaching, whatever. If it's not if it's done in the flesh and God ain't told you to do it, go somewhere and sit down because he's not pleased with it. G-Man Scott said, we should never be happy when our enemy stumbles. So who have we been a stumbling block to? Have we been a stumbling block to anybody? Have we? I know I have. Not bragging about it, but I know I have. And I've asked God to forgive me for me causing anybody to stumble for anything that I've said or done. while calling myself a Christian. And we do that a lot. We call ourselves Christians, but we out there doing any and anything. We think the pastor not looking, so it's okay. I can do this in my house, and God can give me that, keep giving me that word. And I know I'm going to preach it one day. What are you doing behind closed doors?
All right.
God see behind that door. God see that liquor you got hidden in that closet that nobody else sees. God see those pills under your mattress. He see that every Wednesday night at 8:30, your secret lover coming in. He see that. Your husband went to work at 7, and here come your lover at 8:30. He sees that. Nobody else might know about it, but God sees it. What's done in the dark? They said, let's see, going back to them. Prophetess V said, wait a minute. G-Man Scott said, we need to start where we are, and God will see our faithfulness and give us the increase. This thing keeps moving every time I try to read what they're saying. God will give the increase. Prophetess V said, it must be from the heart. That is the problem. It usually is not from the heart. Everything we do must come from our heart. And my husband says, everyone wants to get into the pulpit, but the work is in the highway. The hedge is in the byway. It's in the valley. My Lord. Wow. Okay. Okay. Prophetess V, don't start anything unless it's from the heart and what God has told you to do. This is true. We have lifted up the preaching ministry so much that we think that all other ministries come in a poor second, third, and fourth. And that's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. Everybody want to be in the pulpit. You ain't nobody unless you're in the pulpit. My husband said, we have lifted up the preaching ministry so much so, I think I read that, that we think that all other ministries come in a poor second, third, and fourth. Prophet V says, so true, G-Man Scott. Pride has crept into the church, and the church has not been aware. That is why we lift up preaching instead of lifting up Jesus. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Well, I had so much to say about that, but I can't say it right now. Prophet V said, I don't want to lift up myself, I don't want to lift up myself nor what I do for the Lord, as I can't save anybody or send anybody to hell. And we sure can, and sometimes we do have that mentality as if we could send somebody to hell. We don't have no power to send nobody to hell. We don't have no power to send anybody to heaven. They have to believe in Jesus themselves. That's something they got to do. You can give the word out to them. You can do whatever, you know. But it's up to them, ultimately, whether they're going to accept the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior or whatever. Okay? So, I don't know what else to say to you. Good night, Evangelist Mac. Thank you for being here. I know she already gone, but her phone died. I'm glad she came on the line today. But Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, is what I can say. Prophetess V, thank you for being here. Lady B, thank you for so much for being here in the chat room. You didn't say anything, but that's okay. You were listening. If you have anything to add, you can do so. Because right about now, I'm going to end the broadcast. I hope you got those scriptures that the ones that we did go over. There are more scriptures. Matthew 7:14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All right. We read Titus 3:1. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. People don't think the word of God is from God. There's somebody out there preaching now that the word of God, the Bible is not literal. The Bible is not really the word of God. The Bible is man's interpretation of what God wanted to say. That's what somebody's saying. The Bible is man's interpretation of what God wanted to say. It's not really what God says. I don't believe that. I don't believe it at all. I don't believe it. Okay. Lady B, I'm sorry I stepped away for a second. My Lord. I'm not going to read that out loud, Lady B. Oh. Well, what, were you able to overcome that, or were you able to be able to deal with that issue, Lady B? Wow, God is great. I am, am I right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. And I did a broadcast about this not too long ago. But we did a broadcast about this, Lady B and Prophetess V. And the husband, I think you remember that. But we talked about how you got people sitting in the church. People are just sitting in the church hurting. People are sitting in the church and we got so many... We got so many prophets and prophetesses and seers and, you know, whatever people are calling themselves today. We got people sitting in the church hurting, bleeding, cutting themselves. I was talking to somebody today, and they said they used to cut themselves. They used to just sit, and they would go home and cut themselves. We're sitting in church, and people don't even know we're hurting. People think that when you're in church praising God, okay, because the music is going and this and that is happening, that you're really in the spirit praising God, but you're over there crying because you're hurting. You're over there crying because you just went through something and nobody was there for you and you feel like you're all alone. So you're standing there crying while everybody else is somewhere else praising the Lord. You're sitting over there crying. And it's a shame that there's so many people in the church that are hurting. It's a shame that so many people are in the church having these same issues and nobody's there to help them. And Lady B, I'm right there with you because I understand what you're saying. When my husband was pastoring, I had nobody. I had nobody there to help me deal with the stuff that I had to deal with being a first lady. Being a first lady to me was new. I didn't know, I didn't know anything about being a first lady. My husband had been in ministry for years and years and years, but me being a first lady was new to me. I didn't have anybody to train me. I didn't have anybody to help me go through any of the things that I went through. I didn't have anybody to say, you know, girl, it's going to be okay. You know, I learned this, do this, don't do that, do this. I didn't have anybody to pray with me. I didn't have anybody to lift me up. I didn't have anybody as a first lady to help me. Nobody. Nobody, even a place where we came from, we had nobody to help us. And like yourself, I was in that same situation. And like my husband says, there's many people in the body of Christ that are broken. I mean, just broken. And some people say, well, you know, I'm not going to pacify so-and-so. Excuse me, I'm not going to pacify so-and-so or, you know, they grown. They should be able to deal with their own problems. Or, well, they're the first lady. They ought to be able to handle that. But you can't lump everybody in the same box. You can't lump everybody, you know, in the same boat because everybody doesn't deal with situations the same way. And you got people that, whether they're first ladies or pastors or prophets, maybe they don't have any title at all. They're just a regular member of the church. And I don't mean that as a slight to anybody because, look, a lot of people with titles don't need them, okay, but we'll talk about that at another time. But you got people that are sitting in the church hurting. They come to church to pacify themselves. They come to church to get away from the madness that's in their homes. They go to church for an escapism, a means of escape, and then they got to turn around and go back home to the same foolishness. But all these people in church with all these gifts and callings of God, they cannot even see that this person is hurting. I have a friend. She used to live in Philadelphia, but she doesn't now. But she has a ministry called Can You See Me? And when she first said it to me, I was like, Can you see me? What are you talking about? She said she has sat in church so many days, and she and I came out of the same church, and my husband, sat in church so many days and nobody saw her hurting. Nobody saw her pain. Nobody was able to identify that she was going through something because she was smiling, because she wasn't boohooing all over the floor. But she was sitting there broken and hurting, needed somebody to talk to, needed somebody to encourage her, needed somebody to instruct her, and not a soul could come to her and instruct her. Not a soul could come and help her. So, yes, you got people that are sitting in church with all kinds of issues, and they're not being addressed. People going to church and leaving out of church the same way that they went in there. Leaving out of church sometimes worse than when they left, because they know that that praise experience that they experienced at the church, they can't do that at home because of all the hell that broke loose. All the hell that broke. And a first lady, you got to put on a whole nother face. You got to be, people expect you to be perfect as a first lady. People don't expect you to do nothing wrong. You know, you just got to be Miss Perfect when you are first lady. I went through that. I went through that. No, who's praying for you? No, the church wants you to pray for them. The church wants you to do this. The church wants you to do that. The church wants you to do that. And nobody's there for you. No, I understand. I understand. That's why I tell people, if you're not called to the ministry, sit down somewhere. If you're not called to the pastorate, don't go up trying to be a pastor if you're not called to it, because that is not a glamorous life. People see what they see on TV, but you don't really see what goes on behind the scenes. And there's some people out there hurting. There's people out there hurting. If my husband called God, if God calls my husband back to the pastorate, which I believe God is doing that, I'm praying for me right now as the first, as his wife. Okay, I'm praying for me right now. Okay, as his wife. Here, I'm gonna say this, and I don't know if anybody gonna listen to this in the archives, but I'm gonna say this. Here I am. Oh, somebody's on the line. Here I am going through some severe things right now. I don't have nobody to call me and pray with me. I wish I did. But I guess this is my training ground. I just need Jesus. Good evening, area code 786. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Evangelist Teresa. This is Prophetess Z.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Just been listening to everything that you were saying today, also with Evangelist Mac, your husband, mm-hmm. G-Man Scott, and also Lady Morgan. It is very hurtful when you are going through things and you don't know who to turn to, because that's mostly what the problem is. When we're talking about what other people's expectations are, and the image that you have to uphold as a pastor's wife or as a pastor, or as even a person sitting in the pews, everybody's dealing with the same issues, you're just in a different spot. You may have more issues in the pulpit than the person in the pew.
Yes.
But who are you going to? Who can you talk to? Who is not going to tell your business? Who is not going to look down on you because of whatever you're going through? Who is not going to, you know, turn their back on you when they find out whatever it is that you're struggling with? Who can you really call? And I say the first place to go to is God, regardless of what. And then after that, you know, you do need somebody that you can talk to. You do need somebody who understands what you're going through, but not only just understands what you're going through, but somebody that you can release to. That's why the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, because it's not meant for us to go through everything in this life alone. And I'm not saying that, you know, a husband can't talk to a wife or a wife can't talk to a husband, but a woman needs woman-to-woman companionship the same way a man needs man-to-man companionship.
That's
like
right.
When you're looking at David and Jonathan, they had a wonderful relationship, because there's a bond between a man and a bond between women that men and women don't share together.
Mm-hmm.
We share a bond as husband and wife, but the same bond that we share as husband and wife is not the same bond we share friend to friend.
Yes.
That's
I like what Lady B says. Yes, yes.
Right.
We need.
We
I like
need
Lady B
fasting and prayer partners. We really do.
We do. We really do. We're not people that are going to hold us up. You know,
right.
Hold us up in our wrong.
Right.
Okay. Not hold us up in our wrong, but that's going to be able to be there and pray with us and fast for us.
Absolutely.
With us. You know what I mean? There's been many days. And, Lady B, I'm glad you brought these things up because that's a whole nother broadcast. We could, you know, do that. There's been a lot of days where I felt like I needed to, you know, talk to somebody and nobody was there. You know, and
right.
Like my husband just said, he told y'all that he was in the ministry. He was in the AME church for a long time. He was in the AME before I met him, okay? And he said, here in the chat room, you cannot show nor tell everything about yourself to a congregation that looks to you for leadership. And you can't. And that's why you got to have somebody, you got to have somebody there that you can talk to. That's why Prophetess B was saying what she was just saying. That we're supposed to bear one another's burdens, but who are you going to talk to?
But not in the church, though. See, this is the thing. I'm not saying that you should talk to somebody in the church. 9 times out of 10, you need to talk to somebody outside of your church arena, regardless of what. Because sometimes we can be well-intentioned, right, and go talk to somebody else about whatever you and I have been talking about, and we didn't mean any harm, we didn't mean any malicious intent, but then that same word gets spread around church.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, now your business is out there when it wasn't supposed to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
When it was supposed to be just between you and that person, confidential. So I believe that you need somebody who's outside of your church arena, not saying that they don't go to church or not saying they don't believe in God, but you need somebody outside of that environment. You don't need somebody in the same immediate environment as yourself. That's
mm-hmm.
not going to work for you. Because, like you said, they are either going to hold you up in your wrong, and I don't want anybody ever to hold me in anything that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Ever, because it's not right and it won't help you. Nor do I need somebody who is hypocritical and judgmental about everything I say.
About everything you say.
Because there's a difference between knowing when to reprove and rebuke and listening to somebody, like the Bible says, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. You can't get healed from a person that you're talking to and you're confessing your fault, whether it's your actual fault or what you are going through or what you've been through. You can't get healed from that if that person doesn't know how to feel. You understand what I'm saying? If they don't know how to feel compassion and feel that love and feel where you're coming from, and I'm not saying we deal in our feelings, but what I'm saying is the Bible is very clear that Jesus felt compassion on the people. God has compassion. That's a feeling he feels for us.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if we don't have that, then it don't make no sense for nobody to come and talk to you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to be able to help them. You cannot understand them. You don't get it.
Exactly.
And if I can't get why you can come from a place you're coming from, there's no need to talk to me. I'm going to tell you that right now.
That's right.
It's not going to help
right.
you.
And then
you're
going
to be worse off than if you would have never came in the first place.
Then you become, what happens is when these things, when these type of things happen, then you become bitter. You become angry. You become, I'm going to say that from my perspective. I became bitter. I became angry because I felt like I'm in this all alone. Like, I should be able to call somebody to help me through this area. I've never been a pastor's wife before. You know, I made mistakes as a pastor's wife. I did things as a pastor's wife I should not have done. But I had nobody there to train me. My husband would say, you know, Teresa, as a pastor's wife, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And I'm looking at him like, yeah, whatever. Because I'm looking at him like, well, you've been a pastor for all these X amount of years. Okay, and this is what you do as a pastor, but you've never been a pastor's wife. You know, you're looking at it from your standpoint. You're not looking at it from my standpoint. So I did make mistakes, but hindsight is 20/20. I realized that the things that he was saying then, I could apply that to my life now when he goes back into pastoring. I could definitely apply that to my life right now. But it also helps to have somebody that understands what you're going through or somebody that can just sit there and pray with you. Sometimes people treat first ladies like a first lady not supposed to have feelings, a first lady not supposed to cry, a first lady not supposed to go through nothing. She's just supposed to stand there and be strong and put on this face in front of everybody. She's not supposed to have no problems at all. And then you go home and you got all of these problems. You can't talk to your husband about them, or you can talk to him about them, but he's dealing with, you know, he's dealing with members calling. He's dealing with people that saying that they need prayer. He got to go visit this person. He got to do this, that, and the third. So, again, you're sitting there feeling alone.
That's true.
Here I am. I used to tell people, I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm in an ocean all by myself, just drowning. Where's the lifeboat? Where's the life vest? Why is somebody not throwing me out a life vest? Y'all see me in this big ocean drowning, and y'all not helping me. So, bitter, angry, want to go back to the people and tell them off because you knew this, you knew that, and you did not come and help me. When, I mean, those are the kind of things that we got to guard our heart against, because when bitterness sets in, all other kind of stuff comes with it. Okay, bitterness is not coming by itself. If you don't get rid of that bitterness, you got a whole bunch of stuff attached to that. A whole lot of stuff attached to that. So the stuff that my husband is saying right now, he's saying that he said the same opinion that thought of about the pastor. It is.
True.
But in most cases, you got the men running with the men. They're going to stick with each other. When we were pastoring, my husband didn't have anybody. Just like I didn't have anybody. But to me, it looked like, well, he'd done this before, so, you know, he got it.
Right.
He got it. So he wasn't a concern for me.
Right.
But looking back at it in hindsight, we was both out there alone.
Exactly.
We're not pastoring right now. My husband fell down the steps, broke his hip. You know, we got evicted. We had to live in a motel. All kind of stuff was going on. And where was the people that supposedly loved us? Where was they? We was out there. We was out there hanging by a thread, praying, crying out to God. Lord, what did we do wrong? Whatever we did, God, reveal it to us. We're going to repent. We're not just saying it for you to get us out this motel. But, God, whatever we did, show us. He showed us some things. He showed us some things that we needed to come correct in. Okay, but the reason why we was in the motel because my husband fell down the steps and broke his hip, and we got evicted.
Right.
But see, people point the finger at you. Oh, you know why they in the motel? Because they this and they this. Get out God's business and mind your own. See, we condemn people and say somebody's going through this, that, and the third, and don't even know why they're going through that. You know what I mean? We learned some things while we were going through that. You can't live in a motel, you got to pay every week $275 and wondering where your next $275 is coming from. Living, not a hotel, not the Marriott or, you know, one of them big-name hotels. Those motels that you only find in that particular city, okay, they don't leave the light on for you. They come in there with prostitutes and drug addicts. Okay, you got drug addicts on one side of you. You got hookers. And they pimps next, you know, or whoever they with.
Right.
In the room next to you, you got somebody upstairs trying to commit suicide. So in them trying to commit suicide, they trying to kill everybody. We was there, the fire right above us. But who came to our rescue? My brother-in-law came, and a Jehovah's Witness came.
My God.
Telling you what I know. This a man I've been in the church. This man been in, my husband Ben gave his life to Christ a long, long time ago. Okay, he been in church ever since he can remember. His grandparents took him to church. He was 12 years old when he gave his first sermon. He used to preach in the prison. Okay, he's been in church all his life. Who could we couldn't call on nobody to help us. Now, God sent somebody here and somebody there and somebody here. Yeah, God did send somebody to help us. But the people you thought would have came had bitterness. I had so much bitterness in my heart. I had so much bitterness in my heart. I'm like, even if you don't like me, I don't care if you don't like me, but look at this man of God right here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Mm-hmm. When God tells us to do something, we want to give an alibi for why we're not doing it. Well, God, if
Man.
They would have paid their rent, they wouldn't be in a motel. Nah, that's not why we was in a motel. We was in a motel because my
right.
husband fell down the steps and broke his hip. And those people knew, okay, that they hadn't done what they were supposed to do. If they had a fixed the property like they were supposed to have, my husband wouldn't have fell down the steps and broke his hip.
Mm.
Okay. So let me put that out there. But people was judging us. Oh, no. Well, if they had done this and they had done, nobody was there.
That's the first thing they think about.
And
That's the first thing.
But you don't know if you could have got your blessing.
That's
you don't
true.
Know if you could have got your blessing by helping us. But you missed out on your blessing because you decided that they're in a motel because of this and because of this and because of that.
I believe that God allowed you to really see the true intent and the heart of the people. Because it's all well and swell, like we talk about, when, you know, it's time to pray and everybody get down and they pray and it's time to shout down the aisle and everybody shout. It's time to sing and everybody sing. It's time to pay the tithes and offering and everybody run up and do it. Or it's time to, you know, sit with the pastor or pass the lunch or pass the preacher. I mean, all these other different things. We know what it's time to do when it's time to do it. But the true intent and nature of the heart is often revealed when something happens, just like what happened to your husband. Then the reality hits. It sets forth what's really in the hearts of those people. Like Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart's not with me. Their lip is with me. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yes. You know, oh, Jesus, we'll follow you to the end of the earth. We'll never leave you. We ain't never going to forsake you. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It ain't going to take long either. I truly believe that that's what God was revealing, the true intent, the true nature of the hearts of the people, because we don't see that. All we see is this made-up version of what it's supposed to be instead of what really is. And, I'm not happy that it took that for you and your husband to see that, but I tell you what, God showed you what those people really were.
Yes, he does.
And who was really on your side. And who was really standing by you? Because that's why God tells us all the time in the Word, trust not in a man or a woman. Put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in me. See, people will let you down every time, even if it's not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But they human. They can let you down at any given, but God will never leave you. God will never let you down. God will never turn his back. God will never say no. He's always on our side. He always got our back. And, you know, I hate to hear these things that you and your husband went through, and also Lady Morgan in the chat room. It's so sad. It really is. And that's exactly what the Bible was talking about when it says, you know, I have faith and you have works. Well, show me your faith by your works.
That's right.
You do should show me your faith. You don't tell me to be clothed, be warm and filled, and don't give me nothing.
Yes.
But tell me to go about my business. That ain't
faith. Yes, you have food, but I'm going to pray for you, but you won't give me anything.
Exactly.
You don't
give me nothing.
Yes, we have 1 minute left, but we have a call on the line, so hold on, Prophetess, please.
Go ahead.
Area code 225.
Yes.
Area code 225.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Good evening. Welcome to Out of the Pure Heart Ministry.
I'm doing well. How about yourselves?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
We only have a minute left.
Yes.
Oh shoot! I'm sorry if this is a little off topic, but I had a question. It's not rhetorical. I really like an answer. How do you sort of when you talk about not needing to understand to obey? How do you explain some of the sort of more obscure sort of lessons in the Bible about, like, men always having beards and the role of, like, men and women in relationships and so on and so forth? I mean, how closely do we have to adhere to those things? I mean, because I don't understand those things, and they're pretty much impossible to obey.
Listen, the broadcast is about to end. But we can stay on the line. Prophetess V, if you want to stay on the line, and the chat room will still be open if anybody wants to answer this question. You heard this question on the line. Apostle CL.
They took our job!
Hello? He's crazy. I'm going to call him back because he needs Jesus.
Lord Jesus, help him. Help him, God. Just help him.
I'm going to call him back, though, because he needs Jesus.
You
know what my prayer
around
is for this broadcast? Every person that calls here, that calls on this broadcast and acts crazy, I pray for their salvation. I don't
That's
count
right,
the
amen.
Accident that they call. I don't
amen.
Count it, you know, anything bad that they call. I count it
nope.
that you call because you need salvation, and we
amen.
Can pray for you. That's how I look at it.
Amen. For God be the glory because you called for the right reason even though you didn't know it.
Exactly. So you can
God.
Call here. I remember the first time we did the broadcast and it was like 13, 14 people called. They were just logging into the chat room and they got all, you know, the phone lines lit up. And I called, got on the phone line and one of the people was like, do you believe, they said something silly like, do you believe in Santa Claus? And some other places that they were saying. And at first I got so upset. I was like, you know what? Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then the Lord put it right in my spirit. He said, wait a minute. Pray for them. Pray for
right.
their salvation. Pray for them. I mean, come on now. They called in,
Amen.
Acting crazy. But their soul need to be saved. Pray for them. And we broke out praying. We just broke out praying. And every time they do that now, I get excited because you chose this program to call into. Okay?
That's right.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So we're going to pray for you so that you can get born again so your soul won't end up in a lake of fire. So thank you for calling. That you know, you found the
number
to call so we can
Amen.
Pray for you. Glory to God. See, that? I mean, you know, Jesus is Lord. God has a way of doing what he wants done. You know,
right.
It might look like Satan is using this person, whatever, but God wants that person saved. So
that's right.
You know, Prophetess,
right.
you can pray for them right now. Their phone number is 225-328-0882. That's their phone number. That's all we know them by is 225-328-0882.
Okay. Well, I pray for them right now. Father God, I lift this man up. Who called in tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to help him. I ask you to heal him, Lord God. I ask you to set the captive free, Lord. Bring the prisoner from darkness to light, Father God. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you open his eyes, Lord, because I understand, Father God, that he does not understand, Father. And so we know, Lord, that he is someone who needs your help. We all need your help, Father. And
yes,
we're asking you to bring him to that place, Lord God, where he will understand who you are and he will understand Jesus Christ, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, that he is the only begotten Son, that he is the Word of God manifested into the flesh, that Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth, that the only way to come to you, Lord God, is through the Son. Because
yes.
any man that comes up any other way, Lord, you said is a thief. So, Lord, I pray right now for you in the name of Jesus that you
yes,
would bring
Lord.
Him in, Lord, that you would open his eyes, Lord, that you would bring him to the place where he understands, Father God, that he needs to be baptized, Lord, and he will become a born-again believer. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for his salvation, Lord. I just thank you in the name of Jesus for bringing him into the kingdom, Lord. I just thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for using him as you used the Apostle Paul before he became Paul. He was Saul, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for doing a work in this man's life that nobody else can do. Nobody can say that you don't exist because you're going to do a thing in him that nobody, even himself included, Father God, will ever believe, and they will come to know you, and they will come to know Jesus Christ, because you're going to bring him to that place, Father,
yes.
where he will come and drop down before his knees,
yes.
Lord, because you said every knee shall bow,
and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you are doing in this man's life. I thank you for him calling in. I thank you for his salvation. I thank you for setting him free. I thank you for using him to preach and teach the gospel, Lord. I thank you for bringing a soul home, Lord, Father God, and converting a sinner into a saint. Lord, I just thank you for doing only what you can do, because none of us can do it, but you can. And you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. And I know that this very day that we stand in agreement, Lord, and we just thank you for the salvation of our brother, Lord, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love and serve the Lord. But, Daddy, we just thank you. We're grateful, and we know that you're going to bring glory out of that story. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank God for that prayer. Consider yourself saved, sir.
Amen. I'm just
in
grateful
Jesus
and
name.
Glad. And, woo, Jesus.
Yes, I get happy about that. And excuse me. I'm not mocking him or anything, but I really get excited about that because you could call anybody else's show, and you probably did.
Right.
You got set up to get prayed for, to come into the kingdom. Yes, to come out
of the
kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light. Yes, I thank God that the spiritual blinders that Satan has put on him, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, that those blinders are now off of him because of the prayer of the righteous, the prayer that just went forth on his behalf, and the prayers that are going forth for him that we don't even know about.
Right.
I bet you somebody in his family is praying for him.
That's right.
That he will come to salvation. So we just touch and agree with Prophetess V and all the other prayers that went forth for this young man for his salvation. Glory to God.
Absolutely.
And before we end this broadcast on tonight, this part is not being recorded because that stopped a few minutes ago. But we want to pray.
It'll be in the archives.
We want to pray for the women who are Lady B was talking about, you know, the first lady who don't have anybody to talk to, who are, you know, walking around depressed, sad, whatever the case is going on. And not just for first ladies, but women in general, because women in general, we're carriers. We hold on to things. If somebody hurts us, we hold on to that hurt. Whereas men, I don't know, it's something about men that they move on. At least a lot of them act like they just move on. I don't know how they really feel, but they appear to just move on and not deal with it anymore. But we want to pray for the women and the work that Lady Morgan is doing.
Amen.
Because this is the work of God that needs to really be done.
Yes, it is.
I wish he was in my life when I was going through what I was going through. I wish he had been there. You know, that wasn't the will of God for my life at that time. And now I can look back that whenever my husband does go back into pastoring, I can look back at the things that happened to me then and reflect on them and not go back down that same road. So I do thank God for that. But there's times, you know, even now, who do I have to talk to? You know, my husband put in here, I think he put in the chat room, you know, he was born with cerebral palsy. When I met him, you know, when I met my husband, he wasn't in a wheelchair. But he had some things going on in his life. I had some things going on in my life. We didn't have anybody to teach us. We were in a church, but we didn't have anybody to teach us. You know, we didn't have people to teach us, well, Teresa, this is what you do to be a wife. They didn't teach me that. They didn't teach him what to do to be. They didn't teach us these things. We had to learn by trial and error. Excuse me, you know what I'm saying? And yes, we are still going through some things, but God is bringing us through them because we decided to change our minds about these things. And as of today, I'm praying and saying, Lord, please send somebody for my husband. Please send a godly man for my husband, somebody that can minister to him, somebody that can help him. Because as a woman, I can't teach him manly things. I'm a woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? He needs a strong man of the Lord, a man that's steadfast and unmovable, and a real leader in the Lord. So that is my prayer, that people will come up, people like Lady B will come up and make themselves available, you know, to people like us, because no matter
Amen.
What, we're still human. We got a human side. We could talk Jesus all day long, but we have a human side. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Lady B, before you log out, are you on Facebook? I don't know if you can hear this, but I need to know if you're on Facebook. Because if you are, I want to contact you. I want to tell people before we hang up. LadyMorgan@yahoo.com. She can be contacted if you are a pastor's wife and you are hurting. If you're going through depression, if you're going through anger, if you're going through resentment, if you're going through bitterness, if you just feel like you're all alone and you have nobody to talk to. Lady B, B-E-A, Lady B, but on her Yahoo is Lady, just the letter B, Lady B Morgan at yahoo.com, and she says to contact her. I'm looking to see if she has a Facebook account. We are going to definitely, if the Lord allows it, and if he says it's okay, we're going to have Lady B on the broadcast, and I'll let you all know about it. Prophetess V, we got to book you, too, on the broadcast.
Okay.
So God is
doing. Oh, and I want you to know also, whenever you need to talk, I'm also available. I don't work, so I don't got no cash. So,
amen. I just went
you can
through.
Take my number down. I'm sure you have it on your screen.
I do.
And whenever you're ready, you just call. Whenever you need to vent or whatever it is, you know, you just call, because that's how we heal when it comes
yes.
out. If it's staying in, we don't heal. When it comes out, we heal.
Yes.
And I'm always ready to listen. I'm always ready to be someone who you can lean on when you need to, because that's what we called to do.
Well,
and
if
we
my
can't
tradition,
do that one for
you know,
another, then we don't need to be in ministry.
Yeah. Well, you know, people look lightly. People frown on that, you know, if you're going through something, you know, talk to, call people. A lot of people frown on that. They don't like that. Wait a minute.
But see, the thing with that is we all go through something. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah, but a lot
everybody
of people.
Everybody has something God got
to
work on
yourself.
In them.
Yeah, but they teach you to keep yourself to yourself.
I know.
Like, even some of the things I'm going through right now concerning my health, people say, well, don't say nothing, believe for your healing. And I do believe God for my healing. But sometimes when you're going through something as traumatic as what I'm going through, you need to talk to somebody. And I thank God that my husband was here. My husband was here. He wasn't with me when I got the report, but when I came
right.
home, I tried to act like, you know, everything was good. I was superwoman. You know, God got this. You know, I'm good.
Right.
I'm okay. I believe I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, I started screaming like some crazy person. And I was banging on my table. I was like, no, I can't go through this. No, not this. You know, because there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. Like, I was diagnosed with lupus. First it was skin lupus. Then it was SLE. You know, it started attacking your organs and everything. And I was like, you know what, Lord, I don't know. And then he, this last incident, well, it's fibromyalgia and some more stuff going on. You know, and I was like, Lord, okay, I can't go through nothing else. I wouldn't go to the doctor because I didn't want to hear anything else.
Yeah,
I basically had a suspicion, a very high suspicion of what they was going to say. So I wouldn't go to the doctor because I didn't want to hear it, which people say that doesn't make sense. You didn't go to the doctor. You suspected what it was, but you wouldn't go to the doctor. Yeah, because when you've heard as many things as I've heard, you don't want to hear nothing else. You know, supposedly two aneurysms, had a hysterectomy because I was dying on in an emergency room. You know, crazy stuff going on. So then you go to the doctor and they add something else. It's like, you know what, Lord, enough. You know, but when you don't have anybody to talk to about that, you hold that stuff in, and the ministry that Lady B has is so excellent because.
Right.
You shouldn't have to hold that stuff in. That stuff becomes, literally, it becomes cancerous. It just eats at you. It's a spiritual cancer. And it begins to eat at you and destroy you And sometimes it's slow and sometimes it's fast.
Right.
Okay, the doctor told me I got cancer in my eye. That's
Jesus,
what
Lord.
I went to the doctor about. And, you know, I know certain people I can't tell that to.
Right.
You know, because all they're going to say is, oh, just trust God and believe God.
Right.
I already know that. I don't want to hear that right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? I already know that. But I'm human.
Right.
And I want to be able to, you know, if my emotions are feeling this way right now, I need to be able to release that. But like
right.
I said, thank God my husband was there, that he was there. And I was
right.
able to, I banged on the table, I screamed, and I said, Lord, no, not this. You can't, don't tell me this. No, not this.
Right.
Because,
my God.
You know, that runs in my family. My mom has cancer. She had colon cancer. Thank God he healed her of that. But then she had breast cancer, and, you know, my nephew got cancer, my two uncles died of cancer. Foolishness, just foolishness. And out of 13 children, you know, I'm the one that everything want to fly by, okay? Not wishing it on my sisters and brothers, but none of them have these problems. I have one sister that's having some problems with her heart right now.
Right.
And one sister did pass away, so I do thank God I'm in the land of the living. But
right.
I'm in the land of the living. I'm in the land of the living, and even in the land of the living, people have feelings, and they hurt.
Yeah, right.
You know, if somebody tell you got cancer, you don't take that lightly, somebody saying you got cancer.
Yeah,
it's in my eye, but they're going to cut my eyelid out. What am I going to walk around looking like?
Jesus.
You want to say that, you want to say, or, you know, people will say, well, that's vanity or whatever. You're not supposed to be vain. Look, I am concerned about how I look.
Jesus.
Now,
right.
If you think that's vanity, pray for me because I was born with these
right.
two eyes and these two eyelids. And somebody tell you they're going to cut your eyelid and they don't know if they can reconstruct it. Yes, you're concerned about that. Okay.
Oh.
And I am. So, but you can't say this to everybody because you got to be in that society. Oh, well, you know, you're evangelist and you can't say that kind of stuff. Okay, no, I'm Teresa. I'll tell you in a minute. My name is Teresa. That's who I am. Okay. All the other stuff, you don't never have to call me evangelist. This is Teresa. Evangelist
right.
Teresa is not having a problem right now, but Teresa is.
Amen.
So.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, but my husband was there that day. My husband was there. He was there when I first got the diagnosis of lupus. He was there. Neither one of us knew what lupus was, okay? But we riding down the street crying. like two old people. Just crying. I mean, we look back at it now. We be cracking up. We like, what was we even crying for? We didn't even know what it was.
Right.
But, again, back then we didn't have anybody we could talk to about this.
Right. My God.
He got cerebral palsy, and the pastor of the church owned apartments. He gave his apartment on the third floor. He got to walk up and down the steps every day. He worked at the school that they had. He had to walk up and down the steps every day. For how many years we lived there? 3 years, I think. It was the grace of God that man never fell down them steps.
Jesus.
Every day. Back hurting, legs hurting, all of that. Just
Jesus.
In pain. My husband's in pain every day of his life. He doesn't complain. He doesn't boohoo about it. I give
right.
him going to the doctor because he won't go. He says if the Lord suffered for him, he can suffer for him.
Right.
That's his mentality, and I get mad at him. I'm like, but Jesus came and bore our by his stripes
right.
we are healed, man.
Right.
And that's what he believes. That's what, I mean, hey, who am I
right.
to say that he's wrong? But you know what I mean? Like, okay.
That's true. Well, see, I said the same thing. I don't have any of the same problems that you guys have. I wear glasses. And so, you know, I was believing God and faith that he would heal my eyesight to where I wouldn't need glasses anymore.
And so, okay, I said, you know what, God's going to heal me. I ain't going to need his blessings. Well, I didn't get a healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, all right, you know. To me, I really didn't think much of it, only because, you know, I could see. I was not blind ever. And I've always had sight. Whether I wore glasses or I didn't wear glasses, I've always had sight. So to me, it was like, you know what, God, maybe that's not what you have in the cards for me. Maybe I will receive healing in my sight, but maybe not right now. But it didn't bother me only because somebody is blind and has never seen, and they need sight. So, you know what, if I don't get perfect vision that I once had, you know, if I actually really ever once had it, but if I don't get it and I can throw these glasses away, I'm A-okay with that. It doesn't bother me. And so, to me, it's different from your situation because you have all these other things going on. I don't have any of those things going on. The only thing that I've ever had is, you know, a rising or a boil or, you know, whichever one you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those things are extremely painful. You know, they get huge, you know, before they ever burst and cleansing and all of that stuff. And that happens continuously. But I still don't know the pain that your husband feels. I still don't know the pain that you feel. I still, you know, haven't been through what you guys have. So I can sympathize only to the extent of the boil that I've had and you know, continuously have from, you know, time to time whenever it leaves and then it comes back. But I still don't know what you have been through because I haven't been through that.
Yeah, but it's, you know what, excuse me, we go through for whatever reason, but my husband likes to ask this question a lot. And a lot of people will take your apparently not being healed as though, you know, you have sinned or, you know, your parents did something in their lives or great-grandparents or something or, you know, but my husband asks oftentimes, is it God's will that everybody get healed while they're on this earth?
Right.
Is it God's will? If you look at the people in the Bible that stick out very prominently that my husband teaches about, Moses never got healed of his stuttering tongue. At least the Bible doesn't say he does.
Right.
Jacob wrestled with an angel. When he got finished wrestling with the angel, he had a problem with his hip.
Right.
God, the Bible doesn't speak that Jacob got healed of his infirmity. And then the person that people talk about the most, Paul, he had a thorn in his side. He asked God to remove that thorn 3 times. He said no. He said, my grace is sufficient.
That's right.
So my husband asked the question, and when he first asked me, I was like, well, by Jesus' stripes, he says we're healed, then I guess we are supposed to be healed. But the question remains, is everybody meant to be healed?
Healed in what area? Because yes, we all are healed, right? But that could be emotionally, that could be mentally, that could even be physically sometimes. When you have something and then God releases you from that, but you know what? Maybe something else might happen. And it's not all about what we perceive it to be. It's what God wanted to be.
Exactly, and we need to do a broadcast on that. We really do. I'm going to schedule that. But my thing is, I remember I was sitting in somebody's church one Sunday, and I was minding my business. I don't know what they were talking about. It was after Sunday school. My husband had just got finished teaching Sunday school. And the Holy Spirit brought this to my attention, and I'll never forget this. In Isaiah, where it talks about, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. We were healed. When we were healed, then we were healed of our sins. We were healed. We were separated from God. He healed us from our sins. We were now healed. That relationship that was broken was now healed. And I said this to somebody, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, read the scriptures. Read all of the scriptures. Don't just read what you want to read. Read all of the scriptures. We all, like street sheep, have gone astray. Well, you got to be healed in your body for them to say, oh, by your stripes we're healed. By his stripes we're healed. We were healed from our sins. We were so far away from God, it was ridiculous. We were so far away from God that he was going to send his son Jesus to heal us, to heal us from our sin. We were healed from our sin, from our transgressions, from our iniquities. Look what that scripture says. And
right.
People overlook that scripture and want to immediately say, oh, by his stripes you're healed by, you know, in your body, which we do say that to be healed in our body. And
right.
The word of God tells us, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And one
right.
of the things that shall follow us, that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we do
right.
believe in healing. We're not discounting healing at all. But is everybody going to get that physical healing? And like you said, they might get healed of.
God.
I'm sorry?
Who is the one doing the healing? I said, well, who's the one doing the healing? We're not doing it. It's him doing it.
Exactly.
So if he's who he heals is who he heals. Just
exactly.
like when you read, what was that? Him going into Simon Peter's house and relieving his mother-in-law from that fever that she had.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we know he can do it, but it's still all up to him to do it. It's not, you know, it's not
mm-hmm.
dependent upon us what he does.
Exactly. Then I told somebody, if God don't heal me, I know he's able.
Right.
If he don't heal me. See, and I believe that sometimes, like, my husband's life is a testimony. My husband's
right.
life is a testimony to many. He just turned 60 years old in November. The doctors told him that he was going to be in a wheelchair by the time he was 35 years old. He did not get in a wheelchair until 2008, and that was because he fell down the steps and broke his hip. Okay, so his hip is healed, but the rod that's in his hip is bent because he hasn't had the bone in his hip for years and years and years and years and years. Okay, they
right.
took that round ball thing out of his hip, and they fused his hip
right.
together, and they put rods in his leg. And so one leg is shorter than the other. He walks with a limp, of course. But the man taught high school. He taught at a Christian school, a Christian high school, taught history and everything that goes with that. He took charge of the whole high school when the person in charge was supposed to be there was not there. You
right.
know, he helped classes for her. He did whatever. He was the director of a daycare, okay? When
wow.
he started at the daycare, they had no children. When he was
oh, wow.
falsely terminated and he left there, they had, what, 80-something kids? From him. Calling
wow.
the people, having a relationship with the people. When he left,
right.
the enrollment went down when he left. He was fired unjustly.
That's
he was
right.
fired unjustly. And, you know, his life is a testimony. His life is the things that he has done. If he would have been a whiner or, you know, like me, I'll cry
right.
in a minute. I don't have a problem telling you. Yes, I will. But
right.
him, he goes, he just perseveres. He perseveres through it all. He perseveres. Like, sometimes
mm-hmm.
I just look at him. I'd be like, who are you? Like, who are you? I don't know how he endures the pain that he goes through because the little bit of stuff that I go through, I'm like, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
And he goes through it on a day-to-day basis, and I'll say 75% of the time, I don't even know how much pain he's in, how severe
right.
pain he's in. I know he's in pain every day, but I don't never know how severe his pain is. When his pain gets to be so bad and he says anything about it, I know that it's very, very intense. But he don't say nothing.
Right.
He'll walk around. He cooks dinner almost every day because I don't cook. But he knew that
mm-hmm.
when he got married, so that's not new.
That's okay. My husband do most of the cooking too.
Yeah, I don't like cooking. I never have. So he does most of the cooking. he just went.
If you can call me on my landline, the line that
uh-huh.
the number that you see on your screen, if you still see it, because we've been on the phone still, and they're gonna hear all this in the archives.
No, it's recording down to 30. It's down to 30 minutes. So all the other stuff we're talking about, that's not recording.
Oh, okay.
It's recording the broadcast. And after, when it says you only have 30 seconds left, you can talk all you want to after it cuts off. But I'm looking at it now. It says it's recording, but it's recording the broadcast. So whenever somebody goes in the archive, they'll, like, in about 20 minutes, they'll be able to go in the archives and pull it up. Excuse me, but I can hang up. And now I'll call you right back.
Okay.
I'll call you right back.
Okay.